What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, Emergency Bag Maximization. We're talking with Perry Dennehy and Bubba Wilson. Bubba recently bought one of the stat packs, a backpack using the code THESMB to save him, or SMB25 to save him 25% off of the price of the backpack. And then Perry has been a EMS guy for a long time, athletic trainer. He's heading up to AT Cares. He has an ambulance that he converted to a sports medicine vehicle for the last school that he was working at before he retired. The guy knows emergency preparation. And so, Perry, it's my pleasure to have you back on the podcast as we discuss how to best prepare that bag for an emergency situation. So, welcome back.
Thanks, Jeremy. And salute to Texas. I've recently been covering rodeo here in Ohio, which I know we're not quite at the level of Texans, but I think of y'all when I'm out there with my bulls and bull riders.
Yeah, we can swap stories next time.
Yeah, that's something that it always gets me like wanting to talk whenever we talk about rodeo, because I've only done it once or two nights, I think, but it's always fun to see. And so I look forward to whenever they come back and I get to hang out with Sean some more. So
yeah.
Yeah, Jeremy got his feet wet this fall, so.
Yeah. This episode is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/emergency bag. So that's where I'll have the show notes. I'll have a link to the red bag list, to the stat packs. I'll have the code there from stat packs. And in as much of the answers that I can type in from Perry and Bubba. So again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/emergency bag. So the whole point is to be ready in case of an emergency. Actually, we just went to a Stop the Bleed training like 2 weeks ago. And since then, I've purchased some of the tourniquets that they recommend. Mm-hmm. Because I've never really had anything to stop the bleed. So if there's a shooter, or if someone has like an open femur fracture or something like that, you know, and they're gushing blood, well, let's put that tourniquet on, stop the bleed while EMS is coming. So if they die, it's not because they bled out because I did nothing, right? And so that's definitely one of the things I'm going to include in that bag. But before we get started or too much further into the red bag specifically, Perry, if there is only one thing that you have, an emergency kit, only one thing, this is your one emergency item, what is it going to be and why?
Well, the first thing that I think of is just a towel. And I know that's not very fancy or commercialized, but as far as being able to absorb blood and stuff the wound and maybe cover something that's angulated or pretty nasty to look at. You know, it's not sterile. It's not, you know, hopefully it's as clean as possible. But to answer that question, I'd say you could do an awful lot with a towel. And we know athletic trainers typically have lots of towels available when you start talking about mass casualty incidents. So something simple like that, just to have it on. You know, I'm not talking about something to wipe sweat off, or I would say something you're going to kind of keep clean and at the ready, but not using it on every person that needs to have their sweat wiped off.
All right. Fair enough. Interesting. I would not have guessed just a plain, simple towel with all the tools that you have available, but
yeah.
All right, Bubba.
It's multi-purpose. Crap. The towel's, it's a good one, because what's one? I mean, we carry a towel on the sideline for what purpose? Not just sweat. Toss it over that, you know, dislocated ankle so the kids don't see it, and you know, or you tossing it over that open tip fib on the basketball court. You know, I mean, that is a great one.
You make a triangle bandage out of it, cravat, if it's, you know, a little, yeah, little bit larger. Yeah.
So I'm going to go with what he said.
Uh-oh.
There is no wrong answer, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
And so I had asked this question, not an emergency bag, but I asked, okay, you only, just for fun, what's the one thing that you're going to grab out of your kit, or what's one thing you're going to take with you if you have to go to a game? And some people said AED, right? Okay, well, that's a pretty good answer, because that's the only thing you can't really make do. Like, you could take a shirt off and throw it over a wound or something like that. So that was a pretty good answer, but that's kind of cheating, you know. And so I'm thinking in your kit. So a lot of people said PowerFlex, but yeah, the number one answer that people said, since again I did say just for fun, was like McDonald's or a snack or something like that. She's like, because if I'm gonna be without my supplies, I'm already gonna be upset. Might as well not be hungry too.
Yeah.
So definitely an AED is a good choice, but from experience, a towel or some sort of bandage type like that is apparently a very good choice for your
would say, probably not to just, you know, not having it be gauze roll. I mean, you can do a lot with that, you know, in a very similar fashion with that towel.
Yeah. And so it was really cool with the Stop the Bleed. You actually get to stuff a gauze roll into a wound. And the one we did at UT actually was the Travis County SWAT team. And they had like a big pork shoulder and they had this IV bag that was hooked up so that there was actually stuff coming out until you stop the bleed by stuffing the gauze in there. And it was really cool. It was really cool training. And so shout out to Brian Farr. And he said he's going to be doing that again at the high school Sunday or one of the in-services he does. But it was a really cool deal. So
where'd you do that at?
That was at UT. We took our students to the high school student Sunday thing. So
yeah, all right.
All right, so Bubba, Perry, let's talk about some of the must-haves, some of the things that you have to have inside of your emergency kit.
Well, let's keep in mind state practice law acts and local protocols. You don't want something in there that might get you in trouble that you think, hey, I'm qualified to do this, and I watched it on YouTube, and, you know, this will be cool, so I'm going to have it with me because that's just not the right thing to do. So an overview, I guess, develop your list, ask around, you know, call Jeremy, call Bubba, call me, check your local protocol, your state license, and then I would suggest running it past your local EMS and agency. They're going to be impressed that you're, you know, prepared. They might also make some suggestions on, have you thought of using this? And you never know, they might say, let's go to our storage room and we're going to give you some of this stuff because you're the first responder on the scene. You're going to use this before we get there, but you know, it's all for the patient. So you might be surprised. So don't exclude your local EMS agency.
So with that being said, you talked about Practice Act and such. Like, I think a nasopharyngeal airway is a must. And I think it's simple to use. It's in a way, it's like an AED. It's idiot proof. I think airways, I think a tourniquet, I think shears, you know, obviously gloves, pen light matters. I think you need to have not only shears, I think you need to have a knife. That's weird. We just lost his picture. What else?
So why a knife? I know we got shears, but why a knife?
I just think it's just another tool to have when, for whatever reason, the shears may not get it done.
Like if you have the Raptor scissors, because I think they have that little hook.
They do, yeah. I mean, you could probably get away with that, but I just think sometimes redundancy is a good thing, and having redundancy, though, not like two pair of scissors, something, you know, secondary is always good. I was going somewhere with this.
Said pen light, gloves, shears. Knife.
I mean, I think you can't have enough gauze, you know. The more, the better. We can argue, do you need a BVM? You know, we can argue that all day long. I would say yes, and I would say no, depending. But I think we've got to, and I'm going to talk about this summer, but, you know, times have changed, and what we used to pack and plan for is totally different now. And I think we've got to pack and plan for more than just a C-spine injury. And we've got to pack and plan for more than just a fracture dislocation. We've got to be ready to render aid, unfortunately, in an active shooter situation. And so, to me, that bag has got to address that. It's not going to be stocked enough for 10 individuals. But, you know, we can get that ball rolling if we had to provide care.
All right, Perry. So you definitely gave us some good starting points. Check your local protocol. Check your governing body, the license, what it includes. And then check with the EMS, see what they have, what they recommend, maybe specific brand. And maybe they'll even hook you up with some of the stuff that you need. Which I know has happened before. They've said, here's a neck brace. You know, I'll come teach your kids how to use it, and here's another one just for you to have to teach on your own or whatever. I haven't specifically gone and asked if they have any of this stuff and what they thought, but that's a really good idea. So other than what Bubba said, he mentioned nasopharyngeal airway, tourniquet, shears, pen light, gloves, gauze, CPR mask. What do you think is something that you wouldn't leave out of your emergency bag?
His towel.
A magic marker.
Yes.
A magic marker. You can put a T tourniquet on their forehead. If you had a mass casualty or let's say a bus, and you gave each patient a number, 1 through 10 or 1 through 8, you wrote that on their hand, their wrist, and there's your early accountability system for tracking who's got what and who's been treated, and kind of an assessment triage. A lot of bleeding control. You know, just think of that wrestling match where one kid with a nosebleed ended up using 6 4x4s, and we're talking about a lot of blood, much more than a nosebleed. So pretty much as you could pack in, that you could physically pack into the pouches is how much product you should have in these kits.
Okay, so that's an interesting question. Right, so it's an emergency. I'm trying to get to things quickly. So is it more important, like what I'm thinking is if it's packed tight, it's going to be hard for me to get in, get out, get to what I need. But it's more important for me to have it there than to not have it. Is that, even if it's packed in tight, is that kind of what I'm understanding?
Yes. You know, you're going to be on your own for maybe 3 to 5 minutes, maybe a little longer based on, you know, where your EMS is responding in from. And honestly, on a mass casualty, you might be by yourself for an extended period of time, because they're going to have so much going on that they see you doing your thing, and you're just going to have to, you know, until they restock you. So again, be prepared for the worst and hope for the best. And you just can't go running back to the training room getting more supplies. You know, you need to have it with you at the time of the incident or very close to you. That'd be my recommendation.
All right. If you mentioned putting a T on their forehead for a tourniquet, would that be if you have applied a tourniquet, or if you, yes, if a tourniquet needs to be applied, or both?
The T would signify a tourniquet and the time in which you place the tourniquet. Now the cat tourniquets do have a little flap that you also write the time on that flap. But as far as being very noticeable, especially if you had to leave the patient to go on to another patient, you know, they've clearly been identified as having a tourniquet somewhere on their body, which you know, the EMS and nurses know what that T means.
So I you know, you talked about magic marker, and I've for years carried a Sharpie, not necessarily so if I put a tourniquet on, but let's just say you're following somebody, treating them, and you're doing distal pulse for whatever reason, you know, they've got a bad knee injury. I put an X where that pulse is, so I can go find it easily the next time. And a Sharpie works well when they're sweating, you know, because we know how hard that is to get off. And so it works real well in that regard, as far as I can go right back to that X on that Sharp, you know, from that Sharpie, and get that pulse every time.
It's a good idea. Sometimes write their vital signs.
Yeah.
Their BP and pulse, respiration. And again, if you're moving on to another patient, and that's what triage is all about, which I know that's not the topic of our conversation today, but that's, you know, the first person there, you take command, and you're limited on your resources and your supplies. You have to make some tough decisions on who best is going to use your, you know, your time and supplies. And there's really no absolute cookbook approach to it, just common sense, staying calm, and do no harm, do your best, and incorporate people around you. You know, they, even though they don't have any formal training, they'll listen to what your instructions are. And if you say, I want you to just kneel on this wound that I have a towel stuffed in and wait for EMS, and you're going to move on to somebody else. So be ready to incorporate as much help as you can get from bystanders that are able to stay calm and help you.
Okay, so one of the things you already said was to pack as much in that bag as it can fit. However, Bubba and I, we've discussed with the StatPaks, the red AED Quick Look bag, that they have pouches on the inside. And Bubba was like, man, it'd be really cool if those pouches were different colored, so I know that, you know, red has to deal with blood, that orange has to deal with something else, and, you know, yellow has to deal with this. Or you can even write it on the outside of the container so it's easier to see. What do you do to arrange or to prepare your bag for that emergency?
Well, yes, I do try to compartmentalize them based on, you know, bleeding controls in one section. I'm just going to say pharmaceuticals, but I'm talking like an EpiPen and a glucose pouch and, you know, that type of thing. So, and regardless of how you've set it up, and because this is a low incident utilization, it wouldn't hurt you every Monday or the first day of the month or, you know, some regular time frame where you open those pouches up, look over them, you know, at an away game, show it to the athletic trainer and ask him, do you think I forgot anything or do you have something similar? Let me look at yours. There's lots of this stuff on YouTube as far as medical and SWAT baggage. So I guess be comfortable with how you have it set up, but be flexible and realizing that maybe there's a little better way. But regardless, you're the one that's going to be working out of it. So, you know, do what you feel is best for your own situation.
All right, Bubba, have you stocked yours yet?
I've stocked it probably three different times. I'm still not comfortable with how it's set up. I'll gut it again probably over spring break and see if I can find a way that just works with how my mind works, you know, of I want this here and this here. But I'm still not happy with how it is right now. I'll get there.
All right, so again, speaking specifically about the StatPak, the AED Quick Look, is that the one you got, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the same one that I have in there?
Yeah.
Okay. So what did you do on the side pouches of that one?
One's got towels in it, and I can't because I've moved it all around again. I can't remember what's on the other side right now.
Is that, yeah, that's the thing right now. I'm like, do I put the blood pressure cuff in there, or is it because they don't have pouches, so I don't want to put loose gauze in there because then you unzip it and it flies everywhere.
Yeah.
I figure that's better for one of the pouches, but so I'm still working on the best way, and I can go back to that Facebook conversation that I had with a bunch of people shared pictures of how they've packed theirs. But Perry, do you have any experience with the AED Quick Look from StatPaks?
AED Quick Look. No, I'm not.
It's a bright red. Well, mine is a bright red with yellow. It's a backpack where the AED fits in the front so that you can easily see it. No? So.
Okay, I'm sorry. The term Quick Look, you said AED. Sometimes on a 12-lead monitor, you use the pads, the electrodes, and you get a quick look on the rhythm. So that's what threw me.
No other
but I like the visibility that you could, you know, see what's there, just like an air split. You can...
The name of name of the backpack is the AED Quick Look. So,
okay. Or the there's like a G3.
Yeah, I think it's a G3 AED Quick Look.
Yeah, something like that.
Cardiac Science has a G3 unit. Yeah. Okay. You know, you're going to be under an extreme amount of pressure, stress, and anything to simplify it and keep things flowing in a good outcome is great. So, you know, I like that idea of seeing what's in there. I guess I'll throw this out. So many of the bags and what the kids are carrying and camera pouches and are black, and it's hard to distinguish. You know, I have a black pouch, but I'm wondering why don't they offer it in other colors? And you know, the red for StatPak is great. I mean, it stands out. That's what, you know, that could make a big difference, being able to just identify where that's located when you need it.
Well, before I bought mine, I had a yellow waterproof bag that I bought from a fishing store that I, you know, for that same reason, I could just tell somebody, get the yellow bag.
Perfect.
And bring it to me before the, you know, before I got the StatPak. And because I wanted something that was different, you know, and I don't want to say go get my kit because I don't, tape and, you know, pre-wrap is not emergent.
Right.
And so having that different color makes it easy to, you know, differentiate and distinguish and lessen that chance that they bring me the wrong thing. So
exactly.
Okay. So obviously as an EMT, your bags are different than what we're going to be here in athletic training. So has there been anything more athletic training wise that you would highly recommend an athletic trainer getting as far as a specific bag?
Well, you know, I'm not quite sure where in my career pulse oximeters moved in. Obviously, when we went to the hospital or in a squad, they put that on our finger to monitor our O2 saturation. But I think that's such a critical piece of equipment now for athletic trainers. You know, obviously, it's going to give you a good assessment of your patient, but it also will recognize when EMS arrives and they see that you have applied a pulse oximeter, they know they're dealing with somebody who's modern and up to date and using, you know, science. And I think at times that's all that's going to be needed to gain their confidence, their trust, that I'm an athletic trainer, but I'm trained in emergency medicine. And, you know, unfortunately, I see too many athletic trainers that their kits are stocked well for taping and blisters, and there's virtually nothing in the emergency category. And in my opinion, those folks, you know, their local EMS providers may have some hesitation as far as recognizing them as a, you know, credible resource when things really get nasty. So, you know, we always type or hype on professionalism. And, you know, this is when we're really literally under the gun to perform. And this is just not an area that you can do anything but your best. And having the excuse of, well, I don't have those supplies or I'm not trained is really not acceptable in this day and age.
You know, I actually have multiple pulse ox meters. And I found the thing that it, one of the things on a, when I was at the school on an almost weekly basis, it was great for was your asthmatic kid that was claiming their asthma was preventing them from working out. Okay, let's look. Boom. You throw that on there and they're at 98%. No, we're good. You know,
right.
You can shut them down real quick. So, you know, it has multiple uses.
Right.
Okay, so some of the things that I know that I have in the StatPak AED Quick Look that I'm going to be giving away at the end of the, this month, March 2018, for National Athletic Training Month, it has like a little Black & Decker handheld drill. It'll have an FMX extractor. It does have a BVM because that was on one of the lists, and so that's what Tina from Medco sent me. She sent me, you know, just a bunch of stuff that was on that list, a bunch of gauze, some gloves. So as far as FMX extractor, I know we talked about scissors and knife. The FMX extractor, whatever it is, has the face mask removal tool built into it. And so that's a good thing if you're dealing with football. But what are some of the other things that you might include that we haven't covered so far?
Who's the question to?
Either one of you.
Oh, okay.
You're the experts.
Well, a good Phillips head screwdriver or, you know, flathead, but those are typically incorporated into those leather pack tools. So it's probably on there somewhere, the old Swiss Army knife type, you know, the more little gadgets on it, the better. Some sort of pen light or halogen light. I like to have a small mirror because at times folks want to see what they're dealing with. What else is in there?
I use the cell phone. Like, I get kids like, oh, let me see. So I just take a picture of them with my phone, or I can even just turn the camera on, do the selfie thing, because then they can see. So
got some hard candy for the diabetics or if I get hungry.
Yeah.
I
like the mirror. One of the things I've got it and I haven't put it in there and I've thought about it and you just kind of reinforce it is I've got one of the halogen lights that just straps on my forehead. So you can go hands-free, you know, because what are we always doing? We're putting a pen light or something in our mouth and trying to, you know, function that way. And they're cheap. They're $12 to get one of those, and they're pretty sturdy. So the headlamp works great.
Hey, let me show you. I tore it off, but you guys can probably see that, can't you? It's a little plastic tab, a seal, and I just unsealed it. But you can, your local EMS will have hundreds of these. This is what they seal their toolboxes, their drug bags. But you put one of these on your kit, on your splint bag, on your stat pack, and it indicates that everything that's supposed to be in there is in there. And that it also will discourage someone from looking because they're going to have to break this seal, and that might convince them maybe I shouldn't look into that pouch. And of course, you do inventory it, make sure that everything is in there, put your seal on there, and you know, you're set as far as when you need to go use that, you see that seal, you know that everything that was supposed to be in there is in there at that time. And then you put a new seal on it should you open it or inventory it. And this is just a little trick of the trade that I started incorporating in the training room. And you could, I don't even know the manufacturer. These things probably cost 2 cents each, but I saw that on my bag, so I thought I'd share that with you.
Yeah, that's a great idea because people do just get curious. They open stuff, but that'll, like you said, that'll ensure that you know that it's sealed, that it's closed, that you packed it, and then also right. it'll encourage people to stay out.
Yep.
All right, what else? What else would you... We've gone through what, like I would say, a bare minimum list. So what else is something that is a really good idea to include as well?
Well, you mentioned the tourniquet at the very beginning, and I would venture to say, I mean, I ran 25 years on an EMS unit. I don't know that we had a tourniquet in the rig at the time until here in the last 5 years, and especially with the Stop the Bleed program that's out there. You know, the school buses used to have the old style tourniquets in their first aid kit in the front of the school bus. So I would definitely have 1 to 2 tourniquets. I know they can be a little pricey, but, you know, again, think of the possibility of if you need a tourniquet, you need a tourniquet. And some of the other methods aren't going to save a limb, save a life. And you certainly have the backing of every trauma surgeon and EMS agency that, you know, tourniquets are back. And that's a myth. You know, the old folks statement of you never want to use a tourniquet, that's just not what's being said in 2018. So, you know, and again, that tourniquet needs to be with you immediately, whether it's in your fanny pack or your shoulder pack or your stat pack. There's been local incidents where police officers were trained thinking, you know, the worst of an active shooter, when in reality they were dispatched to a home for a wood shop accident and use the tourniquet on their own belt to, you know, save a life of somebody who was injured in the using a jigsaw. So, you know, just think about your own family, your own neighbors, yourself that might find yourself away from a school shooting, but a natural disaster, a car accident, you know, a home accident, fall. So just lots of application that will be far and few between, but to the point where that's what you need to mitigate the scene. And so it's worth that $15 to have it available.
Yeah. I think, you know, another thing, and it's a very simple item, right, two items actually, is a pen and some type of waterproof paper. You can buy a little flip pad EMS notebook for $10 on Amazon, but something that you can write some basic information on that's not going to get wet and run where you can't read it. And I think, you know, I was buying some stuff online. I bought one. I'll use it once a year at best, but that's exactly why you want it. But again, if it's wet or bloody, you can still utilize this thing and get that information that you need to take down.
Gotcha. And one thing I want to mention, when in the Stop the Bleed training, they recommend the CAT, I think it's combat something tactical, I don't know, but it's the CAT tourniquet, because some of the ones you can buy off of Amazon for $10-$13, they're not reliable, they're not good. And also, if you're looking to buy a tourniquet, go to the Stop the Bleed and find the ones that they recommend, because it is the CAT there, and it has the windlass. Windlass, however you want to say that. So if you're looking to get a tourniquet, then make sure you check with Stop the Bleed or even maybe your local EMS, like Perry said at the beginning, say, hey, which one do you recommend? And then maybe take a picture of it, and maybe they'll give you one, maybe they won't. So Perry's holding his up. If you're watching the YouTube video, it has the time, the white Velcro that has with time, so you can write on there with your marker. It has the red tab. That's the part that you pull. If you're ever putting it on yourself, you want to make sure that you're pulling it towards your body so you can get it as tight as possible. And then hopefully, then the Stop the Bleed course, they said, hopefully with 3 turns of the windlass that it has effectively stopped the thing because you pulled it tight enough already. So, and then it also has the lock there. So if you're looking to get a tourniquet, I would go to stopthebleed.org, and then from there, they will have recommendations on which ones to get. So don't get a cheap one that's going to end up breaking and doing no good. So spend just a little bit more, use it, and save somebody's life.
Well,
so.
And there are some that don't do well when around the bloody skin, that they don't hold when you try to cinch them down. So, you know, I mean, you've got a tourniquet now that doesn't work. So, you know, how much was it worth? $8 or $15 at that point? The answer is no.
Right.
Now, I can't say I've seen these being used. It's just been discussion or, but your old AED pads that could be used as a chest seal.
Yeah.
So they've expired. You're not going to use them as an AED pad, but they still are waterproof and airtight. That applying that to an open chest wound might do the trick. But that'd probably be the one that I'm going to need to do a little more research on making sure this has been approved by folks. There are commercial chest seals, but I believe that in theory should work. So I need to check up on that a little more.
They also mentioned that the old expired AED pads can work as a hair removal tool. So if you don't have a razor with you, again, that's one of the things that I have there that I'm ordering for my kit is to make sure we have a razor. So if you have to dry safe somebody that's a really hairy person, that we can get the AED with a good stick. So if you have old pads, they say that you can put that on there, rip that hair off, and put the pad on as well.
Jeremy, in the Stop the Bleed, did they talk about like Israeli pressure bandages or anything like that to pack for bleeding? Or are they just using gauze itself?
They said that in the military they used to have this like powder that you would pour in the wound and it would burn like fire, and then they'd have to clean it out. But now they have the gauze that's coated with it, so it's some sort of stop the bleed gauze, and you just pack that in there, and then that way, you know, when you get to the ER, that the doctor can just pull that stuff out and take care of it, and it's not having to wash all that gunk and gel out of there. It's already attached to the gauze. So they didn't say anything about any Israeli pressure bandage.
No, that is going to be used on a wound that is not squirting blood, or it's not going to occlude the artery. So it may stop mild to moderate bleeding, but not the level that a tourniquet is going to be able to totally occlude the vascular system. So still not a bad idea to have for the, you know, kind of the moderate amount of bleeding, but it will not take the place of a tourniquet in the worst case scenario.
All right, Perry, how long have you been EMS athletic trainer?
1983.
All right, so 35 years roughly, because I was born in 81, so there you go.
My state license number is 271.
There you go. I know it's been a while, but some of the rookie mistakes that you've seen athletic trainers or EMS people make when they're packing their emergency bags, what are those?
Well, I hinted towards earlier on just not packing as if you may have to deal with a emergency crisis, life or death run, because it's not going to be your typical activity, but you, again, are going to have the responsibility to take charge and to control that situation. And if you're not equipped, so I guess that'd be the first, that somebody just has thought, well, that'll never happen to me. That's what paramedics are for, so why should I bother with it? And I don't know if we can afford, you know, my budget's pretty tight. You're going to have to get through all of that and realize that none of those are really significant answers. And let's say, how are you going to explain that to the family or the loved one when you let them down? So I think the biggest mistake would be just, you know, denial that you'll ever need to be prepared for this. I guess I would have to caution that I mentioned again earlier, if you're not, you know, credentialed or trained or approved, I'd be a little hesitant to, you know, utilize some type of equipment or material without the credential or the training to back it up. So attending the Stop the Bleed training, coming to the state and district meetings and attending the workshops, the active shooter drills, the mass casualty, you know, that's again, a great way to hook up with your local EMS. When they do their mock drills and disasters, they're always looking to have, you know, some victims. And the connections that you have with your athletes, they would love to have, you know, a softball team or anybody that could be their models or their victims during their mass casualty drills. And then you're right there to learn from them. And that's just, you know, you guys should be training not just on helmet removal and things that you can offer, but then, you know, make sure they get you on their mailing list. Hey, we're having monthly training. This is what our topic. And I know our time is limited, But I mean, how great would that be for the local high school athletic trainer to show up at squad training to learn, you know, some facet of EMS? And I guarantee you, in the emergency situation, when you guys know each other by first name, things go so much smoother. And there's no ego, there's no territory battle. It's just simply, he's one of us, she's one of us, we've trained together, we teach CPR classes to the coaches together, and we've got an emergency, and I guarantee you the patient is going to benefit from having, you know, a close relationship between the athletic trainer and their local EMS agency.
So talking about the stat pack, that one actually comes with a like a poncho or rain fly. And so it, you can, I can keep it on the sidelines at a game. And if there's rain, I can put that poncho over there, or, you know, obviously I want to keep it away from the cooler, so it's not, I'm not having to wear out that rain fly. But that's another really cool thing about that bag. Specifically, what bags, what brands have you found best for like a, an emergency bag?
You know, over the years, I've probably whatever was the coolest. I mean, we all used tackle boxes, fishing tackle boxes at first, both in EMS and athletic training. I think one of the greatest inventions, I'd like to congratulate the guy who said, you know, medical bags should have wheels, and you know, you can cart that thing around, save you some wear and tear. You know, I think it's tough to put everything into one bag, because chances are, you know, we call that the first in bag in EMS. You want to have a little bit of everything. But you know, we know athletic trainers are limited on what all they can physically carry off to the sidelines back and forth. So, again, like I heard you mention your blood pressure cuff. Now, are you going to keep your blood pressure cuff in your your normal Kramer athletic trainer bag, or are you going to keep it in your disaster bag? You know, that type of thing where you really don't want to duplicate due to space and weight. But it may be that if you are taking that many blood pressures as an athletic trainer, you know, in a normal day, that you're going to need that in your initial athletic trainer bag. And then you might have a second blood pressure cuff set up for your stat pack or your, you know, emergency bag. So better to have more than none. And again, by being in the profession long enough, you know, some of these supplies are bought 1 year, they're good for 10 years. And eventually you're in the profession long enough, you've got all these gadgets and toys that you accumulated year to year to year, which is a good thing. Local booster club. When I bought our sports medicine van, I drew up a list, submitted it to the local athletic booster group and said, hey, this is going to be pretty neat to have, but I'm going to need some startup equipment to make it worthwhile. And they were more than happy to help, you know, and again, that stuff's going to last for 15 years or so. You know, there's really not a shelf life on hard splints and backboards and things like that. So, you know, and it's also a project that your local boosters may say, well, every sports team could potentially benefit from this purchase. So we're not just giving stuff to football or soccer. You know, this is the athletic trainer uses this for anybody. And again, it's just kind of a no-brainer that you might find some funding sources, but you've got to ask, and good luck. I think you'll be happily surprised at how many folks are going to be willing to help you financially when you bring up the topic that, hey, unfortunately, with what we're seeing in society, then we want our school, we want our kids protected and covered, and I'm just going to need some help. I think they'll be more than happy to help you.
All right, so since you've kind of brought that up there, I am actually speaking with Fund for Teachers, which is a grant organization for teachers, but I've written several grants for Donors Choose. I've written them for the Education Foundation. I've written them for the Association of Texas Association of Professional Educators that I'm also a part of. So there's a lot of different grants. I've met with John Schweitzer, who works at Pasadena Health Center. He's a EMS guy that runs a clinic here in the city, and he's a big supporter of what I'm doing here in the classroom and the mass CPR training. And so if I went to those people and said, hey, I would like to have this red emergency bag for all five of the high schools, or maybe two, so that they can have one at the campus at all times and one at away games. Then that'd definitely be a good opportunity. And then, like you said, Perry, there's the booster clubs you could talk to. There's maybe your school nurse, maybe your local EMS. You can go, and if you're willing to put in the legwork, then you may be able to get most of it for free. And there, you're definitely going to get some no's, or not right now, but you got to continue to ask and present the value of why this is important and why it's important for everybody and not just football or not just this one sport, this one location. And so if in PISD we were to say, okay, well, everybody knows if there's an emergency, there's that red backpack over there at the stadium. There's that red backpack over there at the field house, at Pasadena High School, at Dobie High School. Then it makes it a lot easier for the whoever's providing care or even the coaches to know, hey, go grab that bag.
Right. And Jeremy, I'll say maybe a topic for a future session will be the mass casualty bag or kit. And it's needed, and it's a little different than what we're talking about today. But I think every school should also have a couple of those available. So, Bubba, do you have bed sheets in your two twin bed sheets?
No.
They can be used for a drag. Put the patient on that sheet and, you know, pick them up and drag them across the floor. Obviously, they can be used to cover, not really provide a whole lot of warmth, but more of a visible cover. And, of course, it's cloth, so it could be used as a bandage. But you could also use it as a signal. You could lay the bed sheet out and tell people that if you're walking and able to move yourself, I want everybody to walk over to that sheet that's on the ground and stay there until somebody helps you. So kind of a tarp type application. Yeah, but it doesn't take up a lot of weight, and it's very lightweight. So a couple bed sheets.
I hadn't even thought about that. I do have a couple of the space blankets, you know, in mine, but I hadn't thought about bed sheets. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
See, it's something you were holding out on me, Bubba. You didn't tell me nothing about space blankets.
I forgot all about it until he said bed sheet.
So I don't know that those would work for a carry, but they would definitely keep you warm. And that's also one of the things with the trauma that I've heard is, right, you know, everybody sit on that blanket, or, you know, there's just scratches. You go to blanket one, you go to blanket two, blanket three. And again, that's kind of, like you said, a different topic as you're dealing with mass casualties and trauma. And
right. That's
really good, because I did just add it to my list. And so hopefully next year we'll be able to get that. But Craig Lewin is watching live and asked, is there a brand or model of pulse ox that you recommend buying?
No.
No?
No. I mean, you can spend a lot of money on those, or you can get by with $35, and the $35 units work great. So you don't have to spend hundreds of dollars.
And I would,
but you could if you wanted to.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend using them beforehand, testing them out on yourself so you understand what it's supposed to look like. And then, you know, maybe after you exercise, test it out and see what it looks like. And then that way you have an idea of what the numbers and how it works and how long it takes to read. Definitely test it out rather than just open up the box whenever you actually need it.
Let's put the battery in and use this.
Yeah, and the batteries do, you know, they don't last forever. So, again, it's just something you need to check from time to time. Nothing more embarrassing than you've got the big incident, the big call, and you go to apply that and you realize the battery's dead. It doesn't help your credibility a lot.
All right, I am at the end of my list. Perry, Bubba, you got anything else that in maximizing your emergency bag that we really need to consider?
No, not off the top of my head.
Keep an open mind. You know, check out YouTube, check out conferences, talk to the vendors. What's new? What's the latest? And don't you know, even some items that aren't necessarily medical. You know, you're talking like hardware stores and Walmart, and, you know, just something that you could, you know, have in the back of your mind. Would this be a good thing to have with me? You know, buy it for $2.99. It doesn't have to come from a medical supply house if you think it's going to make your job a little easier and more efficient.
One of the things that I talked with Josh Ogden about, he said that before every road trip, he will unpack all of his athletic training kits and then repack them. And so, Perry, I think you mentioned that there too, you know, like, hey, every week or every other week, you go in there and you open it up, you take everything out, you check and make sure it's all there, everything, like we just said, the pulse ox batteries, the any sort of fluid that you may have in there, any that the food, you know, the hard candy that you have isn't melted at all, gooey. Just check those things, then you repack it, and if you have those tags, put those tags back on there. So again, packing it once and then waiting till an emergency is is okay if that's all you do, but there's a better practice, and that would be to check it regularly.
Right. Have the contents listed or written out and use that as your inventory that, yes, everything's inside there. Plus, you can, you know, share that with your undergraduate students that are there, and, you know, send it off to your colleagues and say, this is what I have in my kit. Do you see anything that I should add? Or could I have a list of what you have in yours? And, you know, it's just, there's just like taping an ankle. We're all going to do things just a little differently, but whatever, you know, you're comfortable with and that you're proficient, that's what you should build on. But don't hesitate to feel like you might learn something new by keeping your ears open and your eyes and listening to programs like Jeremy's to listen to folks.
I always learn something new. So, again, that's part of the reason why I love this. So, Bubba, any final thoughts there?
No.
All right. Like I said before, on sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, currently during March in ATM, I'll give it away, there's one of these red AED quick looks, and it has a good bit of stuff from Medco and also from Sports Medicine Concepts, the FMX extractor. And hopefully next year, if you're listening to this at a later date, that I'll be able to give away a similar prize. So check it out. And then School Health is giving away, every other month, they'll give away a $100 gift card to one of the listeners of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. So you can check that out at sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/schoolhealth. That's an easy way to get some of these materials. I think their tourniquets are, the CAT tourniquets are like $30.52, because I just ordered some last week. And so you can order those there. You could order, get you three, and then, or get you two and a pair of Raptor scissors, because then it has scissors and the knife like we talked about here. So sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/schoolhealth if you want to enter to win that gift card. And then this episode is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/emergency bag. Now, I've listed the link in the show notes to the items that Mike Hopper and I think it was Mike Reed, they said that this is what their bag looks like. They included some pictures, and this is what StatPak recommends putting in there. And so I have that list there, so you can check that out. And then, like Perry said, email him and say, hey, this is what mine looks like. What do you think? Hey, Bubba, show me a picture of yours, or, you know, can I call you and talk through this thing? So show it to the visiting athletic trainer. Say, hey, what do you think about this? Is there anything you can think of? Show it to your EMS guy. Hey, what do you think about this? Anything I should add? But again, I have that list there, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/emergency bag. Perry, somebody wants to get a hold of you. What's the best way to do that?
My name, Perry, P-E-R-R-Y, Dennehy, D-E-N-E-H-Y, @gmail.com. PerryDennehy@gmail.com. Love to hear from you.
And then Bubba?
You know my Twitter handle better than me.
A-T-C-L-A-T Bubba.
There you go.
All right, so you can hit up Bubba, A-T-C-L-A-T Bubba, because then you could even just tweet him some pictures and say, what do you think? And that'll also help encourage other athletic trainers as they see yours and say, oh, yeah, I need to do that. Or, hey, here's my 2 cents, even though you didn't ask for it. So hit up Bubba, A-T-C-L-A-T Bubba. And, again, I've told you I have all that stuff in the show notes, so sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/emergency bag. And for Perry, I appreciate you joining us. Bubba,
thank you.
Even with your cough there, still working through it. And Jeremy Jackson, the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I was going to wrap it up. Perry, I forgot to do this with the last two people. It's March. It's National Athletic Training Month. I want to give you an opportunity to give a shout out to an athletic trainer that has positively influenced you.
That will be definitely Ken Wolford, head athletic trainer at Miami University, Oxford, Ohio. He was so far ahead of his time. Even without computers, he did so much by networking, communicating, professional, and he and I are still great friends. And so thanks, Dan.
You said Dan Wolfer?
Well, I'm sorry. That's his son. It's Ken Wolfer. Ken Wolfer from Miami of Ohio. Used to run the Kramer Workshop. I'm going to have to take off. Nice talk with all of you guys.
All right. Thanks, Perry.
See you, Perry.
Bubba?
Mike Sims. Just retired as a head athletic trainer at Baylor University. Went into the SWAT Hall of Fame this summer, and I was happy to be there when that happened. So, owe him a lot.
All right. So, appreciate it, Mike Sims, for helping shape Bubba into the successful member of society that he is. Question mark.
Yeah.
And there's been plenty of people. Bubba, I think even last year I thanked you because our relationship has helped me grow a lot. I like Sean Reedy. I really wish, you know, he moved away, so it's a little harder, but I really wish we could hang out more. He's a fun guy, but he's also real smart and really loves what he does. And the rodeo stuff was a really cool opportunity for me and to take my students, take my own children to go, and you're standing there in the pit. And so, Sean, I know that you listen, so appreciate what you do to help improve athletic training in a completely different setting than what most of us grow up in. So appreciate you, Sean.
We need to get him on sometime.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's part of my plan for next year. But so now that is a wrap.